Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
Life moves in seasons, joy and sorrow, building and breaking, birth and death. But what if we can find beauty in every phase, every chapter of our lives? In today's message, I take us to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 to explore how our lives unfold in chapters with many beautiful details written by the hand of God Himself. Join us for a sermon that reminds us that everything there's a season, and all things, all phases are beautiful in His time.
To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend, which is to rip, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Now, I want to keep reading just a little bit to emphasize a word that we find in verse 11, but we're going to come back and look at the various seasons and times of life here. Solomon would say, "What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth?" Now, one of the things that Solomon will say is in Ecclesiastes, and we'll mention this briefly and move on because it's not the main point for today. You can labor your entire life and accumulate literal vaults of wealth, but you are one day going to die, and it is going to be left to someone else, period. Now, if you have a large family, you might leave it to your children. If you have no one to leave it to, it will go to someone. You're going to die, and who's going to get that which you have? Somebody else. And so Solomon's overall point in Ecclesiastes is to remember your Creator, listen, in the days of your youth and all through your life, eat, work, enjoy your spouse, be with each other, be happy, labor hard, enjoy the fruit of your living, but do it all to the glory of God and put God at the center of all of it. That's the book of Ecclesiastes. I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it, Solomon says. But here's our passage that we will eventually come to. He hath made everything beautiful in his time, or as you could say, in its time. Everything beautiful in its time, in his time, in the time of the thing that is happening, the seasons of life. God has made everything beautiful in a sense. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, this clues us in into some of the things that Solomon is talking about here. We're talking about God's interaction in the things that occur in this life. God's providential hand invisibly working in our lives, things when God is working and we don't even perceive it, because notice, no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. Wouldn't it be wonderful before things happen to know what God is going to do in the thing that happens? That would make life a whole lot easier. You're scary about a prognosis or a diagnosis, rather. You're upset that something has happened in the world. Maybe your job security is not the way that it ought to be, the way that it once was. Maybe you're worried about one of your children. Maybe something's happening with your parents and you're worried about it, but God has something in store to work in the middle of that and overrule, overcome, give his blessing, and show his providence. Wouldn't it be great to know that in advance? then you wouldn't worry about it. Now, this whole life that we live is to be one lived by what? Faith, not by sight. If I knew in advance every time God was going to intervene, what God was going to do, how He was going to work in the midst of my life, I would be walking by sight. I wouldn't have to worry. I would know exactly what's going to happen when it happens. But we're not to walk that way in this world. We are to live and to walk by faith and not by sight. And here's our word. There is a beauty in God's people walking by faith as their stories play out and God is working in their lives many times unbeknownst to them. There is a beauty there. As you read these, you're going to think of some of these things. That's not very beautiful. But there is a beauty, maybe not in the thing itself, but in God's working in the thing that occurs. There is beauty in its time. To everything, there is a season. What was the word that starts with a C that I used? A chapter. That would be the word that I used. But a season. How many seasons do we have a year? Four. God gave us four of these a year, and if you think about it, they so often represent periods of our lives even. You have the winter where things dormant and it's gray and it's cold and it can be sad. And then you have the spring where new life comes up. And then you have the summer when everything's hustle and bustle and maybe you have some vacations planned. Maybe you go to the beach. Maybe you're swimming and you're working and the world is at its strongest as it relates to the nature around us. And then here comes the fall as things begin to turn orange. And there's a beauty in that, even though what's happening around you is the world's going dormant. And it's culminating in winter. But if there's a beauty in that. There's a beauty in all the seasons. Even in the middle of the winter, when the snow falls and coats the ground and you walk outside and the world is so quiet. Because there are no cars, because it's Alabama, and we don't leave the driveway when it snows. But snow, it absorbs sound because of its nature. So the world is just so quiet and so white and so peaceful. There's beauty in that season as well. There's beauty in every chapter. One of the reasons this is on my mind, and we'll see this today. We're painting in opposites here. There's beauty in the ending of a story. There's beauty in the ending of a story. We don't like the ending of a story. One of the thoughts that I've just had in my mind all week is that even the end of a story is beautiful if it's the right story. There is a beauty even in growing old, the dark hair on your head turning gray or turning loose, and passing away to be with the Lord. There is beauty in that. We don't look at it as such. But remember the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. Death, where is thy sting? To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born. Now remember the word from later in this chapter, verse 11, beauty. It is a beautiful thing when a baby is born into the world. Why is that? Well, because another man-child has entered the world. That's beautiful. But think about what that human being is. An image-bearer of Almighty God. A human being has been born, and that is beautiful. But look at this. And a time to die. There is a season, a time to die. Is there beauty to be found in death? Absolutely. Absolutely. We are counted all the day long as sheep for the slaughter, and in that we are more than something. What are we more than? Conquerors through Christ which loved us. At the same time, as I shared with you recently, as we looked at afflictions and things such as the flooding in Texas and the little kids whose lives were ended, the righteous perish and none lay it to heart. Good men are taken away, and we don't perceive, paraphrasing, that they are saved from the evil to come. There's mercy when God takes His children in an untimely passing. We don't understand that perspective here. We don't get that. Because down here we are bound by time and life and the flesh, and our perspective is not that. We don't look at it as a blessing or a beautiful thing. But Psalm 116 and verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." You know what God thinks when we pass away and we are his children? He says, "This is precious." Do you know why? Because he's, as we referred to the last two weekends, he is our father. And ultimately, more than our natural father, better than our natural father, with mind-blowingly so, more love for you than even your natural father. Those of you who have not yet had kids in this room, you will not fully know how much your parents loved you until your first child is born. And then there is a love you have experienced that you have never experienced before. And it's different than even the strong infatuation we called puppy love, when you just cannot see that girl's face enough. I cannot hear her voice, smell her perfume, see her enough. I just want to be around this girl my entire day, every day, when you're first going out and you first fall for each other. It's even stronger than that, because it's not this sort of "I'm attracted to you" love. It is "I will defend you at all costs and give my life for you." And yet our love for our children pales in comparison with the love that God our Father has for us. If you haven't seen your child for a while and then they show up in your presence as a parent, how excited are you that that happens? It's amazing. It is amazing. Now think about it. God has given you physical life. He sent his spirit into your heart crying, "Abba, Father." But for the first time ever at your death, your soul is conscious and present before him in glory. You finally got home. As a father, what must God think about that? That's why he says it's precious. We're more than conquerors. And from our perspective, we're spared from the wrath to come. But from God's perspective, it is precious to him when his saints leave this world. And so, yes, by all means, we can see that there is beauty even in the time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Those of you that have gardened know all about that. I planted a garden when I was 20 and we've been growing from it since. No, you have to till it up every year. You've got to tear down the plants and might even make them into compost and then put that there as fertilizer. And you till it up every year, you grow it, you cultivate it, you tear it down. There's a time to do both, and both have beauty. A time to kill and a time to heal. That's one that we as Christians might have a hard time with. A time to kill, that could be a beautiful thing. From God's perspective, was it a beautiful thing when David buried a rock in the forehead of Goliath? I think you could say that it was a very beautiful thing. By faith, according to Hebrews 11, some godly men in Israel took up weapons to fight away armies of invaders. Was that a beautiful thing when Israel was defended from Philistines and Babylonians and Assyrians and all kinds of other people? Absolutely it was. There's even a beauty to be found in that. A time to break down and a time to build up. There's beauty in breaking down and building up. We have to tear down a forest to build up a subdivision. As I was thinking about that this week, I thought about a grandson outing I had with Tobias earlier this year. I took him out to McDonald's and we wandered around Big Spring Park and I let him feed the fish, but they were tearing down the municipal building. Any of you have a chance to see that half torn down? Just like the sides off of it, and it's ruin and rubble. And Paul, why did they do that to that building? Why did they do that? Well, they're tearing it down to build something else. It's an inevitable consequence of life that you have to tear down and build back up. Things wear out. There's a time to tear down. And again, what's the word that starts with a B that we're looking at or for in all of these various seasons and times? There's beauty in tearing down, breaking down, and building up. There's a time for both. A time to weep and a time to laugh. a time to mourn, and a time to dance. I did all four of those things 3 weeks ago at my daughter's wedding. What's the word? There's beauty in all of that. There's beauty in all of that. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, that's viewed as either agriculture or judgment. Now, agriculturally, obviously, there's a time to cast stones and gather stones. One of the things you want to do when you till your field is to get rid of the stones. But what did Jesus say in the experience, the example of the woman that was caught in the midst of adultery? Let he that is without sin among you, what? Cast the first stone. Stoning was also the death penalty. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather could also be viewed as judgment. There's a time to invoke judgment and there's a time to be merciful. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend or rip and a time to sow, that is to divide or to come together and find healing. Reconciliation could be involved there. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Certainly knowing when to talk is a wonderful thing. A time to love and a time to hate. Now, are we supposed to hate other people? Jesus warns us against that because it's an emotion that you and I can't experience, like anger, without sinning. But we can hate the things that God hates, can't we? We are to hate the things that God hates. There is a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And again, there is beauty in both of those. There can be. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. A time for all things. Verse 11, he that hath made everything beautiful in his time. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Though we don't understand what God is doing, there is beauty that we can find in all of these things, these various seasons and times of life that we go through. Now, obviously, I have to give you a little bit of a disclaimer. There's one thing in the world that is never beautiful, and that thing is sin. Sin is not beautiful. In fact, four times in the Bible, we find the phrase, the beauty of holiness. If holiness is beautiful and sin is the opposite of holiness, then sin is ugliness. Sin is ugly. Sin is never beautiful. But at the same time, even in the moments, is God chastening us beautiful? Yeah. Is God loving us even though we do things that are contrary to Him beautiful? Yep. There is beauty to be found in every single situation, every chapter, every season, wherever you are in life, youth, middle age, old age, there is beauty even as you face afflictions and you go through things in life that you do not want to go through. I want you to think on Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. I think this one fits very well with the theme of this message. Colossians 1 says that all things were made by Christ. All things were made for Christ, which is a statement of God's purpose and also His sovereignty. For there to be beauty in every situation and every season, and God is the source of true beauty, that means that God is working in your life. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God is not far separated from us, where He saves us, He made us, but then He just kind of leaves and checks out, and He has nothing to do with us in our lives until we finally die and go be with Him in glory. But God, I will tell you this with biblical certainty, is active in your life. In fact, we don't fully perceive all of the things that God is doing. That's the point of verse 11, the latter portion. We don't know because the world is bound in our hearts. God is always working in our lives. And I would say God is always working in our lives to His glory. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That doesn't mean He was the first thing created, but He's the firstborn of every creature. Whichever way you want to run that, He's the creator of all creatures. He's the Son of God, and then we are adopted as sons. He's resurrected. We will be resurrected and begotten again in that sense. Sometimes begetting and resurrection is connected in Scripture. There's several different takes of that that you could believe and be sound in the faith, as long as you don't believe Jesus is a created being. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Because He's the creator of all, and you read this list here, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, created by Him and for Him, all things exist for His glory. All things exist for His glory. The world exists for His glory. Keep the exception in mind. Sin is contrary to God's glory, which is why Satan introduces it into creation. But even in that scenario that we call reality, a sinful creation, there is glory for God in that He saves His children from it and judges the one who did it. There's glory in that for God. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Connect those two statements. All things are made by Him for His glory. He has made all things for His glory. And here, He hath made everything beautiful in His time, even though He has set the world in our hearts so that we can't find the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I love that, from the beginning of to the end. That means that God is there present. What, is it the beginning of my life to the end of my life? The beginning of this chapter to the end of the chapter? Life and death, the beginning to the end of a thing. Or the beginning of creation to the end of creation. What's our D option? All of the above. There's beauty in all of the above. God is working in all of the above. And He hath made everything beautiful in His time. I was impressed by the words of John Gill as he wrote in his commentary comparing the various seasons of life to Joseph's coat of many colors. Gill writes, regarding life's various seasons, the blessings and even afflictions that we can go through in which God works, in their turns make a beautiful checker work. They're like Joseph's coat of many colors, which was an emblem of those various providences of God to men, and all His judgments will be when made manifest, when He shall have performed all His whole work, and the mystery of God in providence will be finished, which is like a piece of tapestry, when only viewed in parts no beauty appear in. Think about this for a moment. There are terrible things that have happened in our lives, but at the end of it, God does some overruling act of providence, and suddenly what was ugly and terrible is now what instead? It's now beautiful. Imagine in the resurrection when, listen to me, we know even as we are known, and we see God's view, the other side of the events, God's perspective, and we see exactly what He saw in all of that. Suddenly, it all makes complete and perfect sense. And history, His story, is presented to us in new light so that we can find the beauty in everything. But when we look at this world from the other side, everything that we go through down here is going to make sense. Everything we go through is going to make sense. And like that coat of many colors, it will be presented as a beautiful tapestry of the life and the death and the seasons, the time to kill, the time to heal, the breaking down and building up, weeping and laughing and mourning and dancing. And it will all be this beautiful tapestry of God's intervention in our lives, working His will to our deliverance. And there will be beauty that we find. This is what I've pondered all week. We all have unique individual stories. That's a good thing. How terrible would it be if every one of us looked the same, dressed the same, acted the same, spoke the same, liked the same? Life would be boring. But God was pleased to create a world of diversity. And we are all very diverse. Our stories are different. Our lives are full of different chapters that don't look like the chapters of the other people around us. You and I often think of God sitting in heaven displeased, full of wrath, angry, and generally just not very happy with what's happening in this world around us, right? That's the perspective. God in heaven is full of wrath, and he's not liking what he sees. That's biblical, but that's not the full picture of the story, the full scope of what's happening. Here's my assertion. I believe the case can be made from Scripture that God finds pleasure in viewing the stories of his children playing out in this time world. You ever thought about that? There's beauty which God has made in the times and seasons of your life. And it's a beautiful story. The sad thing is that all stories here have a what? They've got an ending. I'd like to go rewind and relive the chapter of all of my kids being at home. But even in the ending, there's beauty. There's beauty in the story. And I believe that God takes pleasure in viewing the stories of his children playing out, especially when they're trying, albeit imperfectly, to follow him. Think about the honor roll of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm tempted to say God likes to watch their stories. But I think a more biblical way would be God took pleasure in their lives. As far as God, give you a homework assignment, viewing our stories, Psalm 139 is a psalm that speaks richly about that. God knowing our ways, searching our ways. Thou hast searched me, O God. Thou knowest my down-sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset behind me and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. What does Ecclesiastes 3:11 say? Men don't understand what God is doing. But God knows us. And he's there with us. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How precious. Precious. Beautiful. Think of those words as it relates to our stories. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Those whose heart are perfect towards him. If a man's ways please the Lord, there are some things that happen. He makes his enemies to be at peace with him. He also gives him the desires of his heart. Ask and you have, you could say from James 4. We have trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, lean not unto thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and he shall direct thy paths. When we follow God and we trust in him, our lives are beautiful stories despite the affliction and the struggle and the turmoil and the sin-cursed world that does not please him. There's a story with chapters beginning and end that is your life. And God is pleased to watch your individual story unfold like the honor roll of faith. In conclusion, today, we don't always see the beauty in every situation, and I think we've made that point abundantly clear, but there's always beauty to be found. Look for the things that give all of your individual pages beauty in all of life's changes, because everything has its proper time. And God is at work in your life.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. Address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.